This is Conversations on Healthcare. I'm Mark Maselli.
And I'm Margaret Flinter.
Margaret, I know you're just back from a week in Copenhagen. Was healthcare in the Denmark news while you were there?
Well, people certainly were interested in talking about the national healthcare system, but the issues there are a little bit different than the ones we're facing in the U.S. For instance, there's quite a bit of discontent right now about limits on doctors making house calls.
House
for free.
Calls.
That's right. With the budget cuts, Danes just can't call up and have their doctors stop by the house 24/7 when they're sick anymore.
Yes, that is different. On future shows, we're going to take a look at how healthcare is delivered around the world, but this week we're on our home turf. And the focus of today's show is on a program called Centering Pregnancy. Margaret, just hearing the name Centering Pregnancy, it sounds sort of cozy.
Well, that's certainly part of the appeal. It's a very different way of delivering prenatal care, and it's more social and less isolating. But the important thing is it seems to improve outcomes both for mom and for baby.
We'll talk with the founder of the concept, Sharon Schindler-Rising, who lives right here in Connecticut.
But first, we want to reflect back on our last show about the retail care clinics. Last week, we explored two different retail care models by talking with Sandra Ryan, Chief Nurse Practitioner Officer of Take Care Health Systems, and Dr. John Aguinobi, President of Walmart's Health and Wellness Division.
We heard from listeners, including Ed Szczynski of Maryland, who said retail care clinics was an excellent choice for discussion.
Thanks, Ed.
Ed told us he received basic health care from clinics inside Target and Walmart because his doc wasn't open on nights or weekends. Ed writes, we need to move away from the idea that people get sick between Monday and Friday. Ed, we agree with you.
And we also heard from Larry Dent, a listener from Spencer, West Virginia. He looks for Walmart to expand the number of stores in the program because in his small town of 2,200 people, the local Walmart hasn't yet developed such a clinic.
Keep the comments coming by emailing us at conversations@chc1.com.
Now let's get to recent healthcare headlines from our producer, Lucy Nalpathanchil.
I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil with this week's headline news. As we reported last week, the federal government has begun shipping doses of H1N1 vaccine to states. The vaccine comes at a time when states have reported widespread flu cases, according to the Centers for Disease Control. The CDC reports just 2% of the doses have been shipped this week. Hospitals, community health centers, and public clinics are distributing the vaccine to the public. CDC Director Thomas Frieden says there are priority groups who should receive the vaccine first.
And initially for the flu mist, the groups that are best to vaccinate for that are young, healthy people like healthcare workers, as well as people who care for infants, as well as school children. When the shots come, we want the five key priority groups to be vaccinated first: pregnant women, healthcare workers, individuals who have underlying health problems, people who care for infants and school children, and young adults up to the age of 24 years.
Frieden says next week the injectable H1N1 vaccine will become available. In a conference call with reporters, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius said the federal government has paid for 250 million doses of the H1N1 vaccine, enough for every American who wants the vaccine. She also stressed it's up to individuals to decide if they want the vaccine, saying the government's vaccine campaign is not mandatory. This week, the Senate Finance Committee is expected to vote on a final health care reform bill. The vote comes after a long process of offering multiple amendments to Finance Chair Senator Max Baucus's health care bill. After the Finance Committee votes out a final bill, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid will work to merge it with the Senate Health, Education, and Labor Committee bill. Its membership included a public option. The option did not survive in the Finance Committee. However, in a phone town hall meeting with his constituents, Senator Reid says he wants to see the public option in the full Senate's final bill.
What the public option is about is an option, not a mandate. It's an option. Give people a choice. If the reason for that is to keep the insurance companies honest, to create a fair playing field, I favor the public option. And before we're finished with this, I feel very confident we'll have a public option. May not be the exact one I want, but we will have a public option.
Senator Reid also says Congress must keep in mind that the final plan represents all the nation's citizens.
One thing I want to say is that in a conversation I had with President Obama, he said, Harry, when we finish this, we have to make sure it's not just a program for poor people. It's a program for the American people. And That's something we always have to keep in mind.
The House will also have to pass a final bill. Then both chambers must combine their work in conference committee. The president wants a final bill on his desk by year's end. We'll continue to follow what develops on Capitol Hill. This week, Conversations on Healthcare explores centering pregnancy as an example of a healthcare innovation. Centering is a model of delivering quality healthcare in a group setting. Centering pregnancy is very different from traditional prenatal care, where a woman goes to monthly checkups and often spends more time in a waiting room than with her doctor. In centering, the provider meets regularly with a small group of women who are due around the same time. The informal meetings allow the provider to assess their pregnancies together and educate them about how to take care of their health, all while the women receive support from each other. Centering also extends to care after birth and includes group pediatric care. At a centering pregnancy meeting inside a community health center, Patty Varis lays on an examining table as a certified nurse midwife shows her how to measure her stomach to check her baby's growth.
Okay, so Patricia, you're 30 weeks. Okay, and we're going to measure and see this nice little belly. Okay, and you're measuring 30 centimeters, which is just perfect, and I feel the baby's little head down here.
Oh, are you still ready to position?
Oh, yeah.
After Varis is measured, she and five other women talk about their pregnancies and hear about the importance of getting a flu shot. Varis says she's due in December, and it's her second baby. She says centering has helped her feel empowered, unlike the first time she was pregnant.
Here is all about knowing everything, being aware of everything and your options. And when it comes to delivery, too, your options with pain management and everything. So it's good to know that you go to labor knowing everything. But the first time, it wasn't like that at all. So nobody told me nothing.
Jasmine Burgos sits near Varis, smiling. It's her first pregnancy. She says her nurse midwife recommended centering, and now she looks forward to meeting the women twice a month.
We're going through similar things, and it puts your mind at ease. It's like you're not the only one, you know?
Studies by Yale University, among others, have found that women who participate in centering pregnancy were less likely to have preterm births than women who received traditional care. It's that kind of success that prompted Dr. Stephen Patrick to bring centering to his clinic. Dr. Patrick is director of the residency training program in obstetrics and gynecology for Methodist Health System in Dallas. He says before centering, 13% of the clinic's patients gave birth prematurely. Now, the rate of preterm births has dropped significantly.
And now that we have about a year and a half's worth of data in our own clinic, we're actually seeing a dramatically low preterm birth rate of around 3% within that population.
Dr. Patrick also points out that centering is good for the community. Many of the women he sees come from different ethnic and socioeconomic backgrounds. But he says centering has shown the women that they have a lot in common as they share stories about their pregnancies and their families. He adds the benefits also extend to healthcare providers because the nurse midwife or doctor spends much more time with patients in group care than with a patient one-on-one. Centering sessions can run 2 hours, while a prenatal checkup with the doctor can run between 5 and 15 minutes. Family practice physician Dr. Jeanette Carpenter says spending more time with her patients was one of the major reasons she brought centering to her private practice in Richmond, Virginia.
My biggest frustration with the way that traditional care works is that I just didn't feel like I spent enough time talking about the things that I think are important in pregnancy. And you could go through an entire pregnancy with even a 15-minute appointment with someone and never talk about breastfeeding, never talk about birth control, never talk about nutrition. And, you know, you just talk about the essentials. Is your baby moving and how are you feeling? And then it's time to move on.
Although Dr. Carpenter says it's harder to incorporate centering in a small private practice because there aren't enough staff to train on centering and run the sessions while the other staff handles regular office calls. She believes additional private practice physicians will adopt centering once more information comes out about the positive outcomes of group health care. In Richmond, Dr. Carpenter is working to spread the word about censoring by applying for grants to study the effects of censoring on lowering the rate of unintended pregnancies. And for those doctors and patients who have tried censoring, they all agree it's a model that's proven to be cost-efficient while delivering quality care. Healthcare providers we spoke to point out that censoring sessions and traditional one-on-one care are billed to insurance at the same price. But with censoring, the providers and the patients get more out of the group care experience. To hear more about censoring pregnancy, Mark and Margaret spoke to the founder of the censoring model, Sharon Schindler-Rising.
Welcome to Conversations on Healthcare. I'm Mark Maselli.
And I'm Margaret Flinter.
Today we're speaking with Sharon Schindler-Rising, nurse midwife, educator, and founder and executive director of the Centering Healthcare Institute. Sharon, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sharon, thanks again for being with us. Now, you developed the concept of centering pregnancy or delivering group healthcare to expectant mothers out of your own experience as a nurse midwife. Can you tell us about the model and how it really works?
Well, yes. The model, it's a group model of care, and it really came out of my feelings as a provider that care, the questions that one woman had were the questions of another woman, and that groups in general tend to work better than individual care. I'd had a lot of group experience. And so we had tested in prenatal care. We had really tested classes, and we knew that women, it's a time of affiliation, and women and couples really like to be together, and that there's also an interest in education, or at least an opportunity for women to really test out their internal wisdom with perhaps the wisdom of professionals. And the only thing we really hadn't tested was the prenatal checkup. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, there's nothing terribly private about that. So what the centering model is, it's really bringing women or people, because it's a life cycle model as well, out of exam rooms and into group for care. So it brings together the care and the education and the support or community building all into one, with almost all activities happening within the group space.
Sharon, how do patients react to this model, particularly those who've received the more traditional kind of office visit in the past?
Well, I have some interesting data just collected from our private office, where I'd been in the private office, and I was with obstetricians, and we had a good office. We ran a good office, but I had a subsample of about 60 couples who had received care from us in our office before and now had gone through centering, and I asked them about their experience, how they would compare it to the individual care that they got with a previous pregnancy in our office. And 89% of the women, and the dads actually as well, said they liked it better, and the rest of the sample said they liked it at least as well. So I think that what we have found is that satisfaction of women with the model, it's really just off the charts in terms of they really do love it. And I think it is a time that we're just meant to be in conversation with each other in general, and certainly pregnancy is a time, one of the times in our lives when we really appreciate that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And Sharon, you know, healthcare reform is very much on our minds and everybody's minds these days. And I wonder if you'd comment on how the centering model fits in with our across-the-board call for reforming healthcare in the United States today.
Well, we really think we're on target for that, Margaret. We've looked at the Institute of Medicine has the aims for really improvement of healthcare, for redesign of healthcare and rules for redesign, and we've actually published a table on that, really looking at how we feel that we are responding to the call for redesign of healthcare. It's a model of empowerment and community building. It's an effective model. Our outcomes, our health outcomes, are improved. We've seen a really significant reduction in preterm birth from in a randomized trial, but also in other really fairly well-constructed evaluation studies from different parts of the country. We have satisfaction data from providers. I mean, providers write to me and say, this is the one thing in my week that brings me joy. So when we want to keep providers active, we don't want to lose anybody at this time of in healthcare reform, And I looked at sort of the medical home concept, or I prefer to call it the healthcare home concept, and really think about how that whole model of care, where patients have a home, and it's developed throughout the life cycle, of how appropriate a group model would be within that whole initiative.
This is Conversations on Healthcare. We're speaking with Sharon Schindler-Rising about the concept of centering pregnancy. Sharon, there seems to be a power in this idea of women coming together and building community. How else does this affect the women who are involved?
What we see is some really dramatic behavior change that happens within the group. We really encourage the women to set goals for themselves, personal goals for their pregnancy. And we have seen whole groups sort of shift from really drinking lots of soda, smoking, other behaviors, perhaps not exercising, to having really much better nutrition and decreasing or stopping smoking, really working on stress management and exercise. I mean, it is kind of there's something somewhat magical almost that can happen within the group as women say to each other, I'll support you in that. How can we work together?
And, you know, Sharon, physicians and midwives have been providing prenatal care for a long time, and that was a powerful statement you made about this being a model of care that brings them joy. Where would a physician and nurse midwife go to be trained in the centering model if they wanted to try and implement it in their practice?
Well, we are working now. We realize that there is a lot of system change involved in moving from a traditional model to a group model of care. So we are working with systems, first of all, to get them ready for group care. And then following that, we have a two-day training program where we really work on facilitation. This is group, so it's not class, and it's kind of a big step for us as providers to really sit and listen and try not to answer questions, but instead to really learn from the group and ascertain the group wisdom, which is really based a lot on cultural beliefs and values. So it's this really wonderful experience for us to do that, and it's not all that easy to learn facilitation. So we have two-day training workshops and really basically learning how to run groups and do facilitation. And then we have level two facilitation workshops after people have had an opportunity to run groups. So the best way to really find out about what's happening is to get on our website, which is centeringhealthcare.org. And we have a lot of information there. We have upcoming workshops posted. But they can also call us. We here in the office are spending quite a bit of time on the phone, really talking with individuals as well as administrators in larger systems about what it really means to move to a group model of care.
Sharon, do you have a phone number that people could call?
It's 203-271-3632.
Thank you. And Sharon, does centering pregnancy change the cost of delivering or receiving prenatal care?
Always a difficult question, Mark. The initial data that we have is that it's at least cost neutral. But I really look at the long-term cost effectiveness of the model. And as one medical director said to me, for every 1.5 to 2 groups of women that you have, your data would say that you would save your system one preterm birth. And we know that one preterm birth, the average cost is $50,000 to $55,000 for the system. So that if we were thinking of effectiveness, breastfeeding, better really care for babies and children, and we do have centering parenting, which continues the group on for the first year of life and beyond for well woman, well baby care, that if we think of that, the potential to really help women to achieve weight goals, perhaps some prevention for diabetes, some depression counseling, mm-hmm. screening, you know, all of those things. So in the broader look, is this going to save money? I think absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely for our larger systems and for the agencies themselves.
And Sharon, the centering model is practiced in private practices around the country and in community health centers around the country. wonder if you have any particular thoughts about how you reach out to diverse communities, particularly women who are low income, people of color, people for whom English may not be their primary language.
Well, the majority of our sites are in federally qualified health centers or inner city clinics where women are coming, and there are all sorts of language challenges and cultural barriers to care, and I think that the centering groups, first of all, they can be conducted in a specific language. We have all our materials translated into Spanish, and we have other translations as well, so that, again, the culturally really appropriate care can be given. And I think that the response that we're seeing from women, we have, by the way, over 300 sites. We have sites in virtually every state and abroad, Canada and abroad. But I think what they're finding in these sites is that women are saying that they feel that they are getting respectful care. And what I can't think of anything right now that would be more important.
And I think you're absolutely right. I know, as you know, Margaret and I run a community health center, and I did talk to a group of women after one of their sessions, and I can't tell you about the power in the room and the networking that was happening, where they really wanted to connect past these sessions with each other, thinking about how to set up support groups and the like. So it's really a very, very powerful means of delivering care. We've been speaking with Sharon Schindler, Rising Executive Director of Centering Pregnancy and Parenting Association. Thank you for joining us today. Each week, Conversations highlights a bright idea about how to make wellness a part of our communities and everyday lives.
This week, we look to the workplace. Lucy?
What business doesn't want to cut their costs for healthcare, reduce absenteeism and turnover, increase productivity, and improve morale? Here's one sure strategy with a good return on investment: workplace support for breastfeeding moms. Information on the health benefits of breast milk grows every year. It gives babies stronger immune systems and lower rates for infection, obesity, asthma, and even lowers the risk of postpartum depression for new moms. But with 70% of mothers returning to work within 6 months, that means there are a lot of women who have to figure out how to pump and store their milk if they want to follow the recommendations that babies are exclusively breastfed their first 6 months of life. But a new effort by a coalition called Corporate Voices for Working Families aims to improve those numbers by teaching businesses how to be more supportive of their employees who want to continue breastfeeding their babies. They've developed a toolkit on how to create a workplace lactation program with 4 simple steps: educate managers to be supportive as women plan their return to work, provide a private and secure place where new mothers can pump and store their milk, adjust schedules to allow a 20-minute break every 3 hours or so, and then link moms to supportive services that can help them keep breastfeeding. The toolkit also points out the savings that a business can expect to see when new mothers breastfeed longer. They've tracked an improvement of 62% in healthcare costs compared to the babies of employees who were not breastfed. In all the discussion of reform and the cost of healthcare, it's a good time to remember that nothing is as important as helping moms and new babies get off to a healthy start in life. And breastfeeding in the first year is at the top of the list. For more information about how to make your workplace lactation friendly, go to womenshealth.gov. Now that's a bright idea.
This is Conversations on Healthcare. I'm Margaret Flinter.
And I'm Mark Maselli. Peace and health.
Conversations on Healthcare, broadcast from the campus of Wesleyan University at WESU, streaming live at WESUFM.org, and brought to you by the Community Health Center.